Hey guys, I'm Crazy Jay.
I'm Emma.
I'm Mr. Joe.
I'm Jacob.
And this is Youth Force Chronicles. Let's get at it.
Are you ready?
Welcome to another episode of Youth Force Chronicles. I'm Crazy Jay. We got Emma, Joe, and brand new to the podcast, we got Jacob.
Jacob.
So I'm super excited about the guest today because, well, I'll just go ahead and introduce her.
Who is it?
Her name is Molly, and she was a Disney tour guide. She was part of the Disney college program, and now she has her own YouTube channel and Instagram channel called The Mammoth Club.
What?
The Mammoth Club. Yes, I know. We're going to ask her about that. So,
I'm looking forward to hearing that.
Everybody could please welcome to the Youth Force Chronicles, Miss Molly.
Woo!
Hey! Molly, how you guys doing? All right. So, hey, Molly. So, welcome to the show. Like I said, this is super relaxed. We're going to have a lot of fun with this today, but we usually start off the show with fun facts about ourselves. So so I'm going to give you a chance to kind of think about one, which, you know, you probably have a lot. and so I'm going to let Jacob go ahead and start since you're new.
I'm Jacob, and I like hiking, and I'm 13.
13, okay.
13's a good number. Where's your favorite place you've hiked at?
So we have a forest in my backyard, and I like hiking back there. It has like 100 acres.
Oh my gosh. Have you walked all 100?
I don't know.
I don't know. I've just gone until my feet tell me I'm done.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Well, it's me. Okay. Yeah. Hi, I'm Mr. Joe, and a fun fact about me, I think the other day I swallowed a hairball by accident.
Like your own hairball?
I don't even know. Oh. Just like
that's what you get for not liking cats.
Yeah, you know what? They came out to get me. They were just like shooing their fur at me.
I got
to
be with Joe though. I'm not really that big of a cat person either.
Same.
They're terrifying. Anything that could jump flat footed, jump flat footed and jump 6 feet straight up in the air is not of this world.
I mean, if I could do that, would you be afraid of me?
I would.
I'm afraid of you for other reasons, but it's okay. What you got, Emma?
I learned how to put on a tire at 11 years old. A tire on a car.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, are you 11 years old now?
Yes.
You're 11?
Yep.
Dang, I thought you were older than that. Like,
no.
I thought she was 25.
You were in 7th grade.
I'm just kidding.
No, I'm kidding. I'm 13 in 8th grade.
Yeah, I thought so. So, fun fact about me. I don't know. I don't really think of... I mean...
I'll make one up for you.
Okay, go ahead, make one up for me, Joe.
Right, fun fact about Jason is that he likes to throw mayonnaise at people when they're walking by.
I don't know. That makes me uncomfortable, but okay. I don't know if that's assault though, isn't that? Like you just throw something at somebody. So okay. So Molly, what's a fun fact about you?
A fun fact about me is that my favorite animal is a great white shark, and I went cage diving with them in South Africa a few years ago.
Yeah, I remember.
Were you scared at all?
Not even a little bit.
How?
You weren't terrified at all? Like you weren't afraid that thing was gonna like break through the cage at all?
No, I was the first one in the cage. They were like, first person in your wetsuit is the first person in the cage. And I was the first person ready.
Yeah. See, that's, did they jump right in. Them in the water?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And they lure it towards the cage so that it swims backwards in the cage.
Yeah. See, I think I would be great at a great white shark encounter. We just had a penguin encounter. We just got to pet a penguin a couple weeks ago because we had a career week. And we did like a behind the scenes tour of the aquarium here in Tennessee. And it was really cool because we got to like go up there and pet them. And so I don't know what that really has to do with the great white shark, but you know, that's a pretty cool fact though.
You're not supposed to pet the sharks. They told us that.
Oh, because you lose your hands and limbs.
Right? Lose a finger, probably. But I wanted to, and they said don't touch them, so I didn't.
Oh man. So like I said, this show is a lot of fun. So we're gonna go ahead and go into the interview. So Molly, first of all, I gotta tell you, I was hoping when I reached out to you about going on the show, me and my wife, we found you during COVID, and like I said, this is kind of a fun story because you've been in our, you've been part of our family, and it's like this weird, like, I know more about you than you probably know more about any of us. So it's like,
that's a fun way to say it.
Yeah. That's like, so it's like, this is like, we watch you and so we, me and my wife, we're big Disney enthusiasts. And so we go to Disney a lot, and you are part of our YouTube Trinity, and the Trinity is now complete because we've met Tim Tracker and Mr. Morrow. And last time we were there, we were trying to find, like, just, you know, like you can just run into people. Right. Yep. And we were just like, oh man, it's like, we didn't get to see it. So this is really cool for us because now it's like, we're meeting you and it's a lot of fun. So did anybody have any questions for Molly about what she...
What made you want to become a content creator?
Well, I had a really boring corporate job that involved looking at a lot of spreadsheets and not talking to anyone as I sat in my cubicle, and I hated it because I am a very extroverted person.
Yeah.
And I had that job after actually working at Disney. So I worked at Walt Disney World at the Magic Kingdom for several years and decided I wanted to leave because I was ready to try new things. I was ready to get paid more. I thought I wanted to work Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. So I went into the corporate world, and I didn't like that either because it wasn't very creative. And so I started writing part-time for a website that does theme park news.
Yeah.
And then I was talking to my boss and was mentioned that they wanted to overhaul the YouTube channel because they wanted to make it a little more younger and relevant from the previous owners of the YouTube channel. And I was like, I'll make a fool of myself on camera. That's fine. And then it became my full-time job. And this is what I do full-time.
Yeah, I was telling the kids over like earlier today, we have like a whole bunch of kids that come on Friday morning. Like, and I was telling them what you do. I was like, yeah, she pretty much just goes to theme parks and goes on cruises as her job. And she tells us how cool they are. And then like, we go on those things and they're like, man, I want to do that. I was like, well, this is why we're talking to her. So that way you can kind of get an idea of what that's like. Anybody else? What do you got, Jacob?
What is your favorite thing about your job?
Ooh, that's a good question.
That's very good.
That's a tough question because there's pretty, I mean, it's hard to pick a favorite thing when it's literally your job to travel and go to theme parks for a living. I would say, I think my favorite thing about it is the fact that I'm very passionate about it. I think I'm very lucky in the fact that the thing I've been passionate about for my entire life is the thing that I get to do for a living and share with other people. I think that it's very clear when you're excited about something. And if you can channel that authenticity and genuine excitement and passion into a career, it's going to make it a lot more fun and it's going to make it a lot better. So I think that overall, it's just the fact that I love what I get to do. And this is stuff I would be doing for fun. And now I have figured out a way to turn it into my job.
Yeah, because weren't you a Disney tour guide, you said, like for a while?
I was.
Yeah. How was that?
So I worked in Magic Kingdom guest relations for a long time, which guest relations is at the front of the park. And it's where you go if like you have ticket issues or you need any kind of guest services. If you've got a complaint, we get a lot of if you need anything, guest relations are kind of the cast members that know everything. And as part of guest relations, there are several tours that you can do all about like Disney history and kind of behind the scenes tours. And I've always loved Disney history. Mm-hmm. And so I was a tour guide for them for that. So I got to take guests down like into the tunnels underneath the Magic Kingdom and behind the scenes at Haunted Mansion and do like hours and hours of spieling and talking and sharing the stories of Disney history. And that was one of my favorite things about working at Disney was as someone who's a Disney nerd and a theme park nerd and a history nerd, that was really cool. And that's something I get to do in my videos now as well.
Yeah. So that's cool. So with your, I mean, the cool thing I like about your videos is like, there's so much information that it's not just like, hey, come eat this food or hey, come ride this ride. Like you love to give those little nuggets of like, hey, this is what, you know, we've used your advice plenty of times. Like you're the fiddling, what do you call
fiddle
it? Fiddle faddle. Yeah. My wife is one of your biggest fans and she was wanting to be here just to at least talk to you. She's a Clemson fan and everything. And so like, she wanted me to say go Tigers to you.
Yes.
And so, but she was all about the Genie Plus that one year we went, man. She's like, the fiddle faddle. We got a fiddle faddle. It worked. So let me explain what this is. So
I want to get a picture of Jason fangirling right now. Yeah.
This is the second time. The Back to the Future guy, and then just, well, it's just, you know, COVID was hard, man. COVID was hard. It was hard to find some really good entertainment. And it was for me, especially with my wife, she's a six on the Enneagram. And so anxiety is kind of her thing sometimes. And so like the hope that when we would watch those videos that would bring joy to her really meant a lot to me. And I got to see her just kind of like light up because COVID sucked, man. And so it's like, right. it was so cool. So I think that's why there's like this, like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Cause when you can share joy, this is why I love Disney, because for when I went to Disney parks, the last time we went and, you know, I saw this little girl wanting to be picked up from her daddy to watch Elsa on the stage. And I'm just like, you know, most of our kids, Joe, they don't get to experience that joy of Christmas, or not Christmas. Well, some of them don't get Christmas, but of Disney. And, you know, that's why it's just like, when you share joy with somebody, it's just such a big deal to me. And so that's why I'm like, I'm so excited.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
I do have to ask, has everybody, Jacob and Emma, have you both been to Disney World or Disneyland yet?
I have not. What? I've never been to one.
I've been to Disney World, but only whenever I was three. And that's the only time I've ever been.
Do you remember it?
No.
Oh,
besides
gosh.
The teacup ride.
Yeah. What's your favorite ride, Molly?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. That's a pretty sick ride.
Classic.
Oh, I do have to ask. So earlier you had mentioned it about being in a place that didn't provide much creativity. What's been
Publix. It was Publix. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. Go ahead. Sorry.
Rude, you interrupted me.
Sorry.
So like why is creativity in the workplace a big thing to you?
I am definitely a creative person. I always leaned towards the more creative and people focused subjects in school. Like I much preferred English and history and anthropology versus like math and science. It's just the way my brain works. And I'm much more of a people person than a numbers person. So for me, who was someone that worked at Disney, was constantly interacting with people, was giving tours, was working with my friends, right, to then go into a setting where, and I had some other corporate jobs where I got to do much more creative things and be around people and speak to people. But in this particular job, to go from that to just sitting in a cubicle and looking at Excel spreadsheets all day was draining. Like I didn't feel like myself. I didn't feel like I was using my potential. I think that the gifts that I have are talking to people and engaging with people, and I wasn't using any of those things. So it was important to me to figure out a way to be able to do that in some capacity. And so at the time, just writing part-time on nights and weekends was the way I did that. And I was very lucky that I could shift into a more full-time position. But I think it's important that if whatever the thing that you're good at, the gift that you have is used somehow. And if you're not using it, in my experience, it's going to weigh on you a little bit.
Right. That's awesome. Yeah. No, go ahead, Joe. Sure.
Now, a follow-up question is, because you had said something about Disney history, and I was about to say, we should quiz it right now. But again,
you probably could. I'm not. You probably could.
What was the first Disney princess? Who was the first Disney? Oh, okay. She's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Who came before Mickey Mouse?
Oswald the Lucky Rabbit.
That comment. What are the names of the mice from Cinderella?
Uh-oh.
Jock and Gus Gus. I love Gus Gus because he loves cheese. And I relate to him.
That's funny. Do you, speaking of cheese, do you like Ratatouille Ride? Do you think that
I do like the Ratatouille Ride. It's not my favorite ride.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's cute. I think Epcot needed another family attraction, especially in the World Showcase half of the park. And I think it's very cute. I notice little details every time I go on it. So it's not my favorite ride, but I like it.
I tell you two rides that'll change your life. One, Guardians of the Galaxy, phenomenal. And the other one is the Frozen ride. When Elsa does her thing and you go down, like the little drop as she goes, let it go. And like, you're like, whoa, like it's almost like a spiritual, like
spiritual experience.
Spiritual. Yeah. Thank you. Cause it's just like, you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm listen, you know, but Guardians of the Galaxy, like it, they did such a great job on that, that ride. And I really, Joe's never been to Disney either. And I keep telling him, like, we're going to go, man.
He keeps promising me.
I told him, I made the lightsaber last time we went to Galaxy's Edge, and I cried the entire time.
I get it.
You did, right? Because it's like Yoda comes over and he's like, oh, the Force is strong. And she's like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. The guy, this is how awesome the cast members are. And we have a rule in our house. Because is we put our patient pants on at Disney, we don't blow up at the cast members because the cast members do their best. But this cast member was so good. And I was trying to find him, like not find him, but like the Twitter thing where you can compliment because this dude knew I was a sucker and he walked up to me and touched my shoulder and I started crying more when he touched me. Because I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. And then he's like, but the Force is, you know, they do the whole spiel. And I'm just like, it's like, this was worth the $200 for me. I don't even care. Like the lightsaber is like just a bunch of metal pieces put together. But yeah. So back to your corporate job, like when you, cause I'm the same way, like if you could turn this camera around, you would see behind you how I have a workshop over here. And I really wish someone would have encouraged me to be a Disney Imagineer. And I tell the kids that all the time because I get to create some awesome things for what we do in our program. And so, but like, what was the final moment where you're just like, you know what? I've had enough. I'm going to do this.
I think it was just, it was definitely a risk, I would say, because it was a pay cut to go away from a corporate job, which I think is very like appealing to a lot of people. That's part of the reason I left Disney to begin with. And I am lucky enough that I was in a place that I could potentially take a pay cut for a while to do something that I loved. Because I think as you get older, you realize what's actually important as far as a career goes, because you have to do it every day for a really long time. So I thought that I wanted 9 to 5 Monday to Friday and just to make more money. And it turned out that wasn't fulfilling either. So I think it was just the getting the chance to do something that I would thought I might be pretty good at and the chance to follow something I was very passionate about. I think that was kind of what you know was the catalyst to officially walking away from a corporate job.
So you didn't plan on doing what you're doing now. Like, did you go to school? I mean, you went to Clemson. So what did you go to school for?
I have a communications degree. So I guess I kind of planned for what I'm doing now, but not really because it didn't exist. So okay. like Instagram.
Yeah.
Came out when I was, I think, a senior in college. So like social media and the way YouTube is now wasn't a career. So when you went to communications classes, it was like to do like journalism or news or that kind of thing, advertising. It wasn't for what I do now.
Okay.
Where did the name Mammoth Club come from?
Okay. So when I was at my other job, I was working for another company. I was doing videos and social media and a lot of things for them. And I started thinking what was next. And I wanted to potentially think about doing it on my own. I wanted to do more things. I wanted to branch out and travel other places and expand past just primarily Walt Disney World, which is what I was doing there. And so I started talking to my husband and our best friend. And we kind of all were starting a chit chat of like, what if we did this? What if we had our own company and did this? Because I had kind of dragged them into videos with me a couple times and things. And I think they were really seeing where I was struggling. And so both of them were very encouraging, like, you should do this for yourself. You should bet on yourself. You should not give someone else your content. You should make your own content. So the three of us kind of came together and hatched a whole plan. And the name Mammoth Club comes from the fact that my name's Molly, my husband's name is Alan, and our best friend's name is Max. So it's Mayhem, M-A-M. And we didn't want to call ourselves anything to do with like Disney or theme park specifically, because we didn't want to box ourselves into any one kind of videos or one kind of content. So we kind of were like, okay, ma'am. And then we started joking around with each other in a text thread of like, what are words that have ma'am in them? And we were like, we were like mammifest, like making up our own words and like just mammary. Like we were like, these are so stupid. And then somebody said mammoth and somehow we then started calling it mammoth, like just with each other. And then it stuck. And the word club came from, we had like a week long retreat at our house. We called it the Mammoth Summit because we're still using mammoth as a joke at this point. And we were going over everything from like, what kind of content do we want to make? We like had a war room in my kitchen, like big pieces of paper with all these notes written all over it with like, what are our goals? What's our budget? What kind of content do we definitely want to make? What kind of content do we never want to make? What we had all these exercises we were doing. And one of them was a word exercise where we each had to think of, I think, five words that we wanted reflected in our business and in our company. And all three of us wrote some form of community down. We knew that a big part of this, beyond just making like YouTube videos, we wanted to have to form a community of people that could come together and enjoy the content and maybe meet people that had same interests. And so we all wrote some kind of word community down, or group or friend or something like that. And then we picked the word club because honestly, it reminded us of all of being kids and like forming a club with your best friends. And so club sounded more fun than like community or group or families, kind of cheesy. So we went with club, and then we're like, okay, club, we can use club. And then Max got the big Sharpie and wrote down Mammoth Club. And that was it.
Was it? Cause Joe and I do those moments a lot. Was it like this moment of just like, yeah, that's it. And then like the idea is like final.
Yeah. It was literally like, is that an Instagram? Is that an available handle?
Hashtag Mammoth Club.
Like we like went and looked right that second if Mammoth Club was available on Instagram.
Have you looked into like, how much like stuffed animal, like selling merch?
We like do sell merchandise.
A stuffed animal, like a stuffed animal mammoth.
We haven't sold a stuffed animal mammoth. I do have one on one of these shelves around here because Max, who at the time lived in California, he bought one for himself and then sent us each a little mammoth when we were still joking about the name being Mammoth Club. Because he was like, as like a nice, like gesture of all the work we were doing. So he like sent us a little mammoth. So we should do a plush at some point. But at one point, our community, which they named themselves the Mam Fam, like sold out Amazon of these plushes because we like showed it on a live stream or something and everyone ordered them off Amazon.
Yeah, that Amazon affiliate program. So during your creative process, did you guys have an idea of what you were doing? I mean, but you probably picked up some of your knowledge, like what kind of knowledge did you bring to the Mammoth Club from your previous job? Like not the Disney News one.
So we wanted to expand what we were doing. Like we knew YouTube would be a huge part of it, but we also all we'd been talking about doing a podcast, the three of us together, for literally 5 years. So we were like, this is finally the time to do the podcast. This is finally the time to do that. Let's do live streams. Let's have a Discord for the community. So we kind of all brought different things to the table of what we wanted to do and more importantly, what we didn't want to do, I think.
What about you guys? Anything else? What other questions you guys got? Jacob, I saw you writing down a lot, so.
What is your favorite Disney movie?
My favorite Disney animated film is The Lion King, but my favorite Pixar one is Toy Story. And I have to separate them because technically they're different, but Lion King and Toy Story are my favorite.
Emma?
I don't have any.
No? No questions? So real quick. So in case you guys don't know, Disney has this, it's a Disney college program. I'm not very sure what that's like. I just know it sounds really cool. But Molly, you were part of that, weren't you? Mm-hmm. Part of the Disney College Club. Can you go ahead and expand on what that is exactly?
Yeah, and I will preface by saying I'm very old, so I did it a long time ago. So it's probably different than when I did it, but it's probably generally the same, but there are probably some differences. But basically, it is a paid internship that you can do where you are working in Walt Disney World. somewhere. Ooh. So you could be working in a merchandise shop. You could be working at an attraction. You could be working at a resort. You could be custodial. You could be a character performer. There's all different roles that you could be slotted into. And basically you go down and you work at Walt Disney World for usually a semester, sometimes longer. It depends on how long you would like to do it for. And along the way, you can take classes from Disney professionals. And you, although you're just like I worked at an attraction, so it's easy to look at it and be like, oh, I'm just pushing buttons on an attraction. What could I possibly be learning? The amount of work, like life experience you get is unbelievable. Every job I ever interviewed for after only cared that I had Disney on my resume. Like no one even cared that I was a director of client service at some point for I was director of client service for a big company at one point. No one cared. Only cared that I worked at Disney.
Yeah. Because so I believe that because Disney's customer service is by far the best customer service that you will ever get. Because
very true.
Yeah, well, because like, I mean, you know, she said the guest services and there's people that like complain. They literally have the power to give you like a Genie Plus, which is their fast passes. And like, they'll be able to give you like a ride. So for instance, when me and my wife went on our honeymoon to Disney, we really wanted to ride Slinky Dog because her mom loves Slinky Dog from Toy Story, right?
Yeah.
And so, something happened and her mom just wanted us to really ride Slinky Dog and tell her how it was and everything. And she had given us money towards a trip. And so she's like, I really want to do this for my mom. And so she went and to the customer service up front and said, hey, I think it was like the time slots. We didn't have the time slots available on the Genie Plus, which is basically it schedules you out. Molly does a whole video about it, so I'll show it to you later.
We'll reference
it. Yeah, we'll reference it later. So anyways, so we went up there, and they said they checked their little pad because, you know, you have people who take advantage of the system, and they checked to see if we had kind of done that before, and we didn't do it, and it's just like, okay, here you go. And we got to get on Slinky Dog, the both of us. Like, it was awesome. But not only that, but their online customer service, and I'm going to say this, and hopefully my boss doesn't hear me, one thing that I've been looking for is Disney has working from home. You can work for Disney from home. And I've been trying to look for like the social media manager stuff. Like it's like, cause I was like, man, I was like, that'd be freaking cool to like sit there and do social media managing for Disney from home and everything. But they're like their customer service. So like they have these like programs where you can go and learn, and so that's a big deal for you to have on your resume. I mean, that's a really good piece of information there that no one really cares. They say, oh, she was at Disney's college for this.
Because yeah. You're going to learn, like, even though you're just working like an entry level job, you're going to learn professionalism, you're going to learn customer service, you're going to learn the standard that Disney holds their employees to is very, very high, and those professional skills are very valuable no matter what job you're going to have afterwards. And it kind of makes you stand out in a resume, on your resume, in a group of a pool of candidates. Having Disney on your resume does big things because everyone knows Disney's reputation. So, but beyond that, it's really fun. So you get to work at Disney World, which is really fun. But you also meet some of the best people. Some of my closest friends are friends I met doing the college program. I had friends in my wedding that were from college program. My maid of honor was someone I met working at Disney. Like, it's very fun because it's college students from all over the country, and they even have college students from all over the world that come, and you get to meet these people that you never would have met otherwise, and it's a blast. So anyone that's thinking about doing it, I cannot recommend it enough.
Yeah, because wow. The other thing I was going to say is that I think what makes that such a unique experience is because you are dealing with people from all sorts of walks of life coming to the place that advertises that's the happiest place on earth. Well, that's Disneyland, but like the magic, is it the,
what
is
the most magical place?
The most magical place is,
man, don't you know your Disney?
I know, man.
That'll be a cool segment. Don't you know your Disney?
That would be a cool Disney. maybe we could do like a rapid fire here, and she could just rattle off some pretty cool Disney knowledge here shortly. And if you're ready for that, can you do that, Molly?
Yeah.
I'm sure you could. What I was saying is you're dealing with all these people, and some people are having bad days, some people have good days, but like just that knowledge in itself, what's one nugget that you, or what's maybe like three things that you took away from that experience that wasn't taught to you that you learned yourself?
Let's see. I always used to say that when you work in guest relations at Walt Disney World, you are going to walk away with three different kinds of stories that are going to dazzle people at cocktail parties for the rest of your life, because you're going to walk away with the stories that make people cry, because you truly do get to do some very magical things. And for example, I met a family that came in, and they were there because the husband was getting deployed earlier than they thought he would. And they were bringing their son for his first trip. And, you know, they had a lot of feelings around that. And they really wanted to meet Woody because their son's favorite movie was Toy Story, and Woody was his favorite character. He was dressed like Woody, and Woody unfortunately didn't have any more sets that day. But I knew that Woody was in the parade. And so through a little Disney magic, I was able to arrange a private meet and greet for this military family with Woody. And like, those moments are unbelievable. So just from that, I learned that it doesn't have to be as grand as like,
yeah,
arranging a private character meet and greet, but just being kind to other people. Yes. It's unbelievable the amount of people that would come up to the guest relations window and be on their phone and not even talk to you, just throw their credit card down. And so because of that, working in a customer service, it completely changes your point of view and how you're going to treat other people working in customer service. So if I'm at Publix and I'm checking out and I was talking to my mom on the phone, I will tell my mom I'll call her back, because that person checking me out deserves the respect of me standing there and talking.
Yeah.
Number two kind of story is the stories that will make you kind of doubt humanity. And like, some people get so mad over the most ridiculous things and they will scream at you. Like, yeah. I was called every curse word you can imagine in every language. And it's so unbelievable. And I think very easy to let that like weigh on you and beat you down. But one thing one of my managers taught me was basically at least you don't have to deal with that person forever.
Yeah.
You get to deal with that. You have to feel bad for their wife because you have to deal with this guy for 10 minutes and she has to live with that guy.
Right.
So basically just kind of like do the best you can in those situations. And there are always going to be people that are going to be mean. They're rude. People are part of life. And yeah, that's no truer place than working in the internet. People can be really, really mean.
Yeah.
And that's a tough lesson. But I think what I learned was just not to let other people bring you down, and to know that as long as you've done the best and that you're proud of what you did at the end of the day, that's their problem, not yours. And I have to remind myself that a lot reading comments on the internet.
Molly, that I hate that for you.
It's just being on the internet, yeah, especially being a woman on the internet, you get people send wild things.
I'll be a keyboard warrior for you. Okay.
And number three, my favorite kind of stories are the stories that are just so unbelievable that they're like, that if it didn't happen to me, I wouldn't believe it happened. For example, I had a woman come in, an American woman, scream at me because there were no women in the Hall of Presidents attraction. And I had to explain to her that that's because there's not any women presidents. And she
was yet.
And I had people come yell at me that it was raining and why can't Disney make it stop raining? And
the most magical place in the world.
Yeah. Like, people think there's a bubble over it. There's not. And I had, you know, you get like the most crazy stories, and all of my friends that works there, we have these hilarious stories that we can tell later in life. And we all love to reminisce with our like craziest guest stories. And I think that is kind of, I don't know the lesson there. The lesson is people are nuts. And find humor in it, because
that and Disney tired is a whole other level of tired, especially when you've been there for 5 days straight. Like,
there we all have stories, you know, that are like, ooh, that was a guest, you know, everyone gets their stories, but I guess that's about finding humor in life.
Yeah, that's true. What would you say would be a tip to people who do work in the customer service world in dealing with people who have outrageous moments like those?
I think the hardest part is probably keeping your cool as well, because, you know, if they're screaming at you, that probably, at least my reaction is to want to yell back, but like just to try to keep your cool. To a big tip that we kind of thought about was like, it's not actually about me. They're not really yelling at me, Molly. They're yelling at the name tag I'm wearing, and they're yelling in that case because they spent thousands of dollars on this vacation and something went wrong. So even though they're being rude, like trying to help if you can, just because that's your job. And then number three, most importantly though, like you don't have to take it. If someone's being truly outlandish and you don't feel safe, or you are being like incredibly disrespected, you don't have to take that. You should go get a manager, or try and get that person to leave, because there is a point where that's unacceptable. Like if a guest cursed at us, if a guest threatened to sue us, I was done. That I'm not having this conversation
anymore. Last time we were there, I got so frustrated with people because they would get mad at the Thunder Mountain Railroad closed down, which that happens a lot for some reason. Sometimes just there's things that just happen, and the people would get huffy puffy with the dude at the thing, turning people away, and they're like, "What do you know it's going to come on?" It's like, "Yes, sir. I have a crystal ball, and I can predict this when it's supposed to happen." And so it's just like, that's why we talk about patient pants in my house. It's like, You when you go to Disney with us, like, you know, one, we're spending the money. Like, we know we're going. It's a little pricey at times, but we know what we're spending it for, right? We're not going to complain about the prices, and we're not going to take it out on the people. So, but are there any influential people that were good leaders for you at Disney's at Disney that you just like, man, that was like exceptional leadership, and you're just kind of value that and modeled some of that in your own life?
Yes. I have one manager in particular that I think of. His name was Josh. And I was at Magic Kingdom, and I was doing the tours all the time, and I wanted to do other things, but I had some managers that were like, no, you're too valuable here because you do tours and these other things. And so we're not going to encourage you to leave because we need you to stay here, which it is a weird, like, backhanded compliment, kind of, because I'm glad you need me, but also as a person and an individual, I want to grow and I want to experience new things. And in my opinion, a good leader doesn't hold you back from those things. A good leader wants you and encourages you to like flourish not only there, but on whatever your next journey is as well. And I think that is kind of a different mindset. I think there's a generational difference in that mindset. I feel like most people I know that are millennials and younger, that is the mindset of like, I want my people to be the best as individuals and as team players. And if that means for an individual, they need to leave and they have a better opportunity somewhere else, then you're going to encourage them to do that. So Josh was the manager that when I was explaining to him that I wasn't totally fulfilled, I had been doing the same things for years and I was ready for the next step. He's the manager that went out on a limb and suggested other places and made calls and recommended me for things. And he's the one who got me to my next step when I was working at Disney. So I'm very grateful for him. And I think it's important that when you're working in a company environment, the best case scenario is that you have a boss or a leader or a mentor that puts your name out there. Mm. And that when you know that there's opportunities, you want somebody that's going to put your name on the table.
Yeah. So how does that, so Disney being such a big company, how does that work as like being such a little fish in such a big pond? Like, how does that, is it just like how does that work? Like
it's probably changed because it's been 10 years since I worked there, but it just depends what the role is. They'll post something usually internally, like, we need people for this type of job, or and that could be internally within your department, or it could be internally like the whole park or company or whole property. And so it just depends on which department you're in and stuff, truly.
Okay. Does anybody else have any other questions? Okay, so here's what we need to do.
Yeah.
We're going to give like 1 minute.
Yeah, I'm going to set a timer. And then okay, so what we're going to do for this next segment, Molly, is we're going to, you're just going to rattle off as many crazy Disney facts that you know as possible. So hold on, let me get.
Do you have a particular topic or just
fun
facts about Walt Disney World?
Let's, let's do a good question. What do you guys think? What do you think we should do?
How about like Walt Disney himself?
Ooh, golly, that's dang.
Man, what
Jake the about dream. The gate here, yeah. Man.
Okay.
Put it to the
I want to know about him.
Yeah.
Emma, what about you? Do you want to know anything about Disney? Actually, she never watched Disney.
No? You never watched Disney?
That was a joke.
Poor child. Okay. Anyways, all right. Ready? Okay. Are you ready for this?
I'm trying to. I'm thinking okay. of a few.
Let me get you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Tell me when you're ready, because I'll do this countdown to start the clock.
Okay.
Ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay. This is a longer story, but you mentioned Oswald before, which was Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. That was the first cartoon success that Walt and his brother Roy had after they moved out to Hollywood. But unfortunately, they lost the rights to Oswald to Universal. Because of a contract loophole, Universal took not only the character Oswald, but most of Walt's best animators. Mm-hmm. And the executive at Universal was named Charles Mintz that did
okay.
that.
Okay.
And on the train ride back from New York to LA, where Walt had to tell his brother that he lost their most successful cartoon, he thought of a mouse and he drew a mouse. And that mouse was named Mortimer Mouse, except for his wife Lillian said Mortimer's a too stuffy of a name, call him Mickey instead. And that's how Mickey Mouse came to be. But the Oswald story was not finished, because in 2006, CEO Bob Iger did a trade with NBC Universal. They traded the rights of Oswald the Lucky Rabbit back in return for Al Michaels, the sportscaster.
Ah, timer up. Man, I want to hear more.
Also, 4 minutes is all you get.
Also, the villain in Up is named Charles Mutz, which is a play on Charles.
Ooh. Well, so
I might have flipped those. It might be Mintz. Mutz is the real guy.
That's crazy. I'm from Daytona Beach, Florida. And when I growing up, like, I always knew that there was some sort of feud between, so it was Universal versus Disney. Ah. Little did I know that there was like that kind of a fact that
yeah.
And you took my character.
Yeah. For the record, for the record, I love Universal Orlando.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with them. I go there often. We make a lot of content about Universal. I'm a big Harry Potter fan.
Yes.
So I don't believe that you have to like one or the other, or that there needs to be a feud. I think you can like them both.
How excited are you about the new realms that are coming?
I don't know if I've ever been more excited for anything.
Mario World. I can't. My son is
I haven't been able to go yet.
Okay. Full disclosure. In the plan, so our program, Molly, has been about 2 years old. In our original plan, I wanted to take our kids. So our goal is to get to Disney World or Universal. Both have these like really great programs for the kids. I emailed you about, and I. It would be such a dream to be able to take kids that, because we live in a little town named Cleveland, Tennessee, and most of the kids have never really, most of our kids have never really been there. And so to be able to take those kids to there and just be like, this is the magic. Oh, sure me. Okay. But it's driving me. I was like, I got to make this happen.
For me.
My son's 2 years old with the Mario, like he loves to play Mario Kart. And I was like, man, I can't wait to take him on Mario Kart. But I think we're about out of time, Molly, unfortunately. So where can everybody find you at on your social medias?
So our YouTube channel is called Mammoth Club. And that's where we do our videos about like theme parks and travel. We also have another YouTube channel called Mammoth Club Streams, which is where we take some of our live streams and turn them into YouTube videos. Those have nothing to do with theme parks. Those are things like we bought every flavor of Oreo at the grocery store and reviewed them. On Saturday, we're doing all the Hostess products, and ooh. I'm afraid for my stomach. So that channel is a little like sillier and like nothing to do with theme parks, and that's a lot of fun, because that's something I never got to do before. We also are on Instagram at Mammoth Club. We have a Discord community as well. So those are the main places.
We'll be sure to tag you in all of our stuff when we post this podcast. But we'd like to thank our guest Molly. How do you say your last name again?
McCormack.
Molly McCormack. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. We'll check you guys out later. Thanks.
Yep. Bye.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Are you ready?